Well, if anybody is scrutinizing and keeping track, you'll see. You know that I've been going through the book of Mark, right? And yes, actually, I skipped over a couple of passages, a little to jump over to the sermon text for today. I've been going verse by verse, but there are a couple of examples there where we have seen a healing. We've seen the miracle of the multiplication of loaves and bread. But what I wanted to do is just kind of retell a little bit those stories because they set the context for this story today. So Jesus was ministering up in Tyre, and so in the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came back down around the Sea of Galilee into the Decapolis, and then as he was there, he was doing a lot of miracles, and a lot of people were getting healed and blessed. And in Mark's version, he tells a story of a deaf man and almost completely mute. In other words, said that he could hardly talk. And many people brought him to Jesus, and they urged him to heal him. And so Jesus took him aside. And then it says that he put his fingers into the man's ears. And interestingly, he spat into his fingers and touched the man's tongue. And immediately, the man's hearing came back. And immediately, he was able to talk well, talk freely. And he tried to keep things kind of low-key. You see, along the way in his ministry, there was even a time when the people, they saw and they did start to believe that he was the Messiah, and they didn't understand his mission. And so even at one point, they almost took him and by force tried to make him king. And of course, their understanding of the Messiah was going to come, and he was going to take on the Romans and win them victory. And so Jesus is actually trying to downplay in many instances. This is why he's downplaying his ministry. And so he tells the people, hey, keep this quiet. Despite his good intentions, despite all of his efforts, they couldn't. This was just, the people were in awe, and they just continued to talk about these amazing miracles. And so shortly after that, he's teaching the people, I get the idea, it must have been almost like a festival or something like that, because there's literally thousands of people who are gathered around Jesus, and they're out in a remote area, and they've been with him now for about 3 days, and Jesus has just been teaching them. Can you imagine how awesome that would have been to just sit under Jesus' teaching? But for days, these people are with him, and so Jesus then tells his disciples, I'm a little worried about them, because if I send them away now, and some of these people came from a great distance, they might collapse on the way because they don't have anything to eat, and so we need to provide something for them. And of course, the disciples say, well, where in this remote place are we going to get enough food for them? As if they were forgetting the time before when Jesus multiplied the bread and fish. So Jesus said, well, how many loaves of bread do you have? And they said, well, 7. And he said, okay, tell everybody to sit down. And then Jesus blessed, he gave thanks for those loaves, put them in baskets, blessed them, gave them to the disciples to distribute. They says they also had a few fish. So he took those, gave thanks for those, blessed them, also gave them to the disciples. And about 4,000 men, so we don't know exactly the number there. It's easy to imagine. We're talking, you could multiply that number when you start including the women and children, maybe threefold. So 10, 12, 15,000 people were fed by 7 loaves of bread and a few fish. It was this amazing multiplication. And then right after that, it's when the Pharisees, they come and they confront Jesus. And they demand a sign from heaven from him. And of course, as you're reading along, you're thinking, so healing the deaf man wasn't sign enough for you? This amazing miracle of the multiplication of 7 loaves and a few fish to feed over 10,000, that wasn't enough for you? What is up with the Pharisees? Well, what's up is, see, Jesus has been calling them out, and he's been confronting them for a lot of their hypocrisy. Oh, this guy doesn't fit their mold of what the Messiah should be like. And so it actually says they came to test Jesus, asking for a sign from heaven. And Jesus, it says, just sighed deeply. You can just imagine, And he refused. No, you're not getting a sign from heaven from me. And so then they get in the boat and they start going. And this is our sermon text. And Jesus then warns now the disciples. And he warns them about the yeast. Watch out. Beware of the yeast of Herod and the Pharisees. Of course, Herod, that guy was a whacked out ruler. I mean, he was the guy that had beheaded John the Baptist, remember? Yeah. And so Jesus tells him, beware, watch out for the yeast of the Herod and the Pharisees. And the disciples don't get it. And so they start asking each other, is it because we only have one loaf of bread? What's he talking about? And you can just hear Jesus' exasperated tone with them. It's almost like he said, are you guys kidding? Are you serious? Do you still not understand? I mean, do you have eyes but can't see? Do you have ears but can't hear? There's a deep sigh again. They were obtuse, is the way I would put it. Oh, I'm skipping ahead, though. I'll get back to that in a moment. But first, I guess I wanted to, as we read through the Scriptures, and every time you read through the Scriptures, you need to be having an interaction with a Scripture, right? And so sometimes you need to just dig a little bit deeper. And so what is this about the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod? So in your sermon notes, by the way, yeast is that first blank. What's he talking about? Well, first of all, I mean, their hypocrisy. I mean, think of it this way. It's the Son of God is before them, the very Messiah, God's God in the flesh, and they don't get it. I mean, the Pharisees, their religion, and all, I mean, they were very religious, but God is right there in front of them, and they can't. In fact, they're so far off base, they're looking at his miracles and saying, oh, it's Satan in him that's causing, you know, he's got a demon. Are you kidding? So their level of hypocrisy was extraordinary. And then misleading the people also. And I put some reference verses there, and later on in your devotional or something, you can read those. But, you know, how they were misleading the people, Jesus just said, I mean, you all can travel to the ends of the earth to try and win one disciple, and then you turn around and make him twice the son of hell as you are. I mean, in Jesus' mind, in his estimation, I mean, the way they misled people, leading them away from God, was awful. So that's kind of the yeast he's talking about. And they were just out for personal gain. And he talks about how they would devour widows' homes. And so, you know, out even for material gain, out for their own personal gain. I mean, it was power trip with Jesus. They didn't like the fact that Jesus is getting all this attention. This is the yeast of the Pharisees. So now, as we interact with the Scriptures and start to try and make application, we go, the question we need to ask is, where do we see yeast today, and specifically in Christian culture? I mean, Pharisees, they were very religious. They were part of the religious culture, right? Where do we see yeast in our culture? Where do we see the hypocrisy? Oh, ouch. Where do we see Christian leaders who are talking the talk but not walking the walk? Say one thing, do another. Where do we see the Pharisees of the day that are misleading the people? I mean, quickly, I just jumped to the health and wealth gospel. Jesus wants you to have all of his blessings, and if you are with Jesus, then you just name it and you can claim it. And I've often said, honestly, it'd be, and I think you've heard me say this, but it'd be easy to build a church up to 1,000 members. And I see the way some of these preachers do it today. Oh, you just pick and choose, you just go through the Bible and just the good stuff, the easy stuff. The easy to follow, easy to swallow. It's forgiveness with no call for repentance. Don't worry, you don't have to turn away from your sins. God forgives you. It's the kind of cheap grace, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer would put it. It's the health and wealth gospel. This is all exciting and great. And we don't even want to talk about the cost of discipleship, carrying a cross, and certainly don't even mention hell. Oh, no, that would scare people away. Watch out for that kind of unhealthy, misleading gospel. In fact, they've said it in the past, or there's an old saying that the preacher's task is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. So there's times when we need to feel that conviction. We need to feel afflicted by the gospel message when it confronts us in our sin. That's good. That isn't bad. So I'm not going to go on and name names. If you have questions, come and ask me. So what about this and that preacher? I see this guy on TV, and what do you think of him, Pastor Steve? If you're at all questioning, then come and talk to me. Now let me talk about point three in your sermon notes. Spiritually obtuse. O-B-T-U-S-E. O-B-T-U-S-E. So I've got the definition, I think, printed in your sermon notes. But a real straightforward definition of obtuse would be, well, duh. I mean, that's when, you know, when somebody is obtuse, you just look at them going, are you kidding? Well, duh. I mean, that's really what Jesus was saying or intending or feeling towards the disciples. Are you kidding? Duh. Yeah, ears, you can't hear. Eyes. But I like that definition, too. I found in dictionary.com. And you can see this was the disciples, not quick or alert in perception, feeling, or intellect, not sensitive or observant, dull.
Excuse me.
Yeah, spiritually obtuse. But we can read it and think, oh yeah, that was the disciples. Man, let's interact with the scriptures. And the question is, and me, God? I shudder to think, but God, would you ever look at me and go, oh, duh. Oh, lacking in understanding, eyes but not seeing, ears but not. You know, and I'm your pastor, and so, you know, I hear too genuinely, and now this isn't an insult, but sincerely, a lot of us, there's the murkiness and the searching and the, you know, whether it's, man, the question might be, is this a spiritual warfare issue? I mean, could this be like a demonic thing? And questions like that, or just simple questions like, is God calling me to do this? I'm at a crossroads. I mean, does God want me to do this, do that? You know, and kind of spiritual murkiness. And here's the thing, too. Wouldn't it be awesome to have deep insight? But I mean, real profound understanding of God's word, of his will, to really hear his voice. Oh, no, tell me, wouldn't that be awesome? When you just, clarity, you have ears and you do hear. Oh, you hear God's voice clearly and distinctly and accurately too. Because you got a lot of people, oh, I hear God, and he spoke to me, and oh, dear. And now we're not talking about obtuse, we're talking something else. Wouldn't it be great if there'd be none of that sense of obtuseness in us? But man, we had that clarity of vision. We had that, those ears to hear. We truly, deeply understood. All right, quickly then. Here's my pastor's heart for every one of you. I mean, every one of you. That we would become people of the Word, people of prayer, and people that are surrounded by great mentors, and that we would be mentoring each other as we mature and develop that insight, that understanding, start to help others in that walk. I mean, purely and simply, this is, oh, deep in my heart and in my prayers for each and every one of you. How's that going to come about? I mean, to develop that mastery of understanding of God's Word, but I mean a mastery. We all, it doesn't happen from just listening to the sermon once a week and really never opening up the Word of God. It really is opening up the Word of God. And I got to say this comment too. I mean, there's a lot of devotionals out there, and they're good, and they're a blessing. I mean, what's the real popular one right now? Jesus speaking? Is that Jesus calling? Thank you. And no slam against it, but it's not deep enough. It really isn't. It doesn't compare to really getting in the Word yourself. And let me just recommend, what am I talking about? I mean, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, little by little, every day would be the goal, is to take the time, open up the Bible, and maybe just start with a book. And let me tell you this, start with the New Testament. Don't start with the Old. I say that because too many people, all of a sudden, you get along, moving along in the Old Testament, and even especially in Genesis and Exodus, there's some things that'll really kind of trip you up if you're a novice, new to the Bible. Start with the New Testament. Start with one of the Gospels, Gospel of Matthew, you know, and then after you maybe read that one, turn a little bit further and get into some of the epistles. Those are the letters written by Paul and Peter and John and some of the other early disciples, okay? And just chapter by chapter, go through it and read through each chapter three times. So the first time you're just getting the big picture. The next time you're actually taking your pen out, and if the Spirit moves you, underlining a verse that, one of those verses that, wow, and really speaks to your situation, watch how the Holy Spirit will do this. He will, and I love this about God. First of all, he's up in heaven. He's going, she's reading my word. This is awesome. Okay. All right, Holy Spirit, just get in there and work in her mind, work in her heart. And as she's reading the scripture, all of a sudden, it's just, wow, it hits me, you know? Underline that. And then the last time you read through that chapter, focus on those underlying texts, those underlying verses, and pray them through. I mean, it really is that simple, but let me tell you, if you will do this, it will revolutionize your life, absolutely. And it will set you on a course towards thriving. And there's so many promises in God's Word for this. And I know what some of you are thinking. Are you kidding, Pastor, with as busy as I am? I don't have time, my goodness. Yeah, you've heard me say it. Busy is an acrostic for being under Satan's yoke. And it's literally like somebody, if you just had awful vision, but I mean, you know, just awful vision. And of course, we're just looking for some miracle cure, aren't we? Oh, we're only looking for the quick fix. We're Americans. We're looking for a quick fix, a pill, a surgery, whatever. But what if the doctor said, listen, if you will do these exercises faithfully, it's going to cost you 20, 30 minutes a day of your time, but if you will do these exercises, over time, your sight will come back to you. Would you do it? Or would you kind of be going, I've gotten used to being nearly blind, so I'll just continue tripping along and bumping in it. I'm fine with that. Really? Really? I mean, it's like the guy working with the axe, trying to chop down a tree, and the axe is dull. And he's, oh man, and he's worn out and everything. Hey, if you would take time to sharpen your axe, everything would be different. Are you kidding? I don't have time to sharpen. Can't you see how hard I'm working here? Well, duh. Being a little obtuse here. I'm sorry if this is convicting, I'm sorry if it's insulting, but those who say they don't have the time to read the Bible, you're being obtuse. Really. You're being very short-sighted. This will change your life, and so much for the better. It really will, because you will develop. All of a sudden, you'll start to understand God's will, the mind of Christ. You will start to understand his ways, and it will change everything. Total game changer, life changer. Next thing I'd encourage you on is prayer. How can we connect with God other than prayer? I mean, and really, as we're reading the Bible, it's prayerful. It's because you're having an interaction with the Holy Spirit. You're having an interaction with God. That's a form of prayer. And there's other forms of prayer, but it's simply connecting with God. And, you know, I can't even imagine having a marriage where everything's just trite and superficial. Oh, hi, honey. Good morning. I mean, the people that tell me, oh, I talk to God all the time. I pray all the time. But I'm going to ask you, I mean, qualify that. Because, I mean, are your prayers just kind of simple, trite? I mean, is God up there going, well, thank you. You said a table prayer. come Lord Jesus, be my guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed, amen. It's nice, but, you know, if every time I'm talking to my wife, you know, oh dear wife, how thankful I am for the wonderful serving of Spam. What kind of marriage would we have, right? God wants to have a deep, intimate relationship with each and every one of us. And He is wanting to go deep. He will go deep. And it will bless you. But I mean carving out time where you get alone with God. Journaling is a wonderful thing. Where you actually write out a conversation with God. There's some people here who have a gift of poetry. And some of the poems they write, they're writing love letters to God. Don't you think God is honored by that? I know when I've written love notes to my wife, oh yeah, it does something. See what I mean? It's developing this rich, deep, intimate relationship with God, and life is so different when you do it. This is what I would love for each and every one of you, what I pray for, that you would become people of prayer. But deeply so, people of the Word. And of course, surrounding yourself with mentors. Y'all, I'm busy. Yeah, I am. But about once a month, I take a few hours and I drive out to Princeton, Illinois so I can have breakfast with Dr. Wald Elwell, one of my mentors. I make that time because, oh man, that guy blesses me. And for a couple years, even though Fridays are my day off, I only take one day off a week generally. Fridays are my day off, I would call my mentor Steve Haynes and almost weekly on Fridays because this guy was such a blessing to me. You find those people who are just deep and they are nothing but obtuse, but they're deep and their relationship with God is deep, and you get together with them and you watch how that spiritual insight, that spiritual understanding starts to develop in you. Let us never be obtuse, but instead what we really develop is wisdom. And listen to what the writer of Proverbs, King Solomon, said. This is what he says about that wisdom. Blessed are those who are not obtuse, but who find wisdom. Those who gain understanding. For she, wisdom, is more profitable than silver. I mean, all of y'all are just working so hard. I'm sorry, but I'm working too hard. I don't have time. Are you kidding? This is more precious than silver, and it yields better returns than gold. She's more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her hand. I mean, what are the benefits of wisdom? Long life is in her right hand. And in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. Do you want to be blessed? Then go deep with God. Get into prayer. Get into the Word. Surround yourself with great mentors. And live into those blessings. God be with you. Amen.